What if you could get truly original jeans at a price that's truly incredible? Well, right now you can, because Levi's and Kohl's are offering your favorite fits for some phenomenal prices through Labor Day. For men, Levi's 511 Slim Jeans are on sale at their lowest price of the season, just $39.99. And for women, Levi's 535 Super Skinny and Mid-Rise Skinny are also on sale for prices as low as $36.99. Stop by your nearest Kohl's or go to Kohl's.com today.
Welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. And now welcome to my guest author, Kira Archer. Kira Archer resides in Pennsylvania with her husband, two kiddos, and far too many animals in the house. She tends to laugh at inappropriate moments, break all the rules she gives her kids, but only when they're not looking, and would rather be reading a book than doing almost anything else. She has odd, eclectic tastes in just about everything, has an unfortunate addiction to goldfish crackers and all things chocolate, and often lets her imagination run away with her. She loves her romances, a little playful, a lot sexy, and always with a happily ever after. She also ghostwrites medical articles as her day job and historical romance and educational nonfiction as Michelle McQueen. And for social media links, book list info, other info, book trailers, and more, you can visit Kira's website at kiraarcherbooks.com. She loves connecting with readers, so look her up on any of her social media sites. And let me bring her live on the show, and we can welcome Kira. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So glad to finally get you on. I know we had planned to have you on earlier, but now you've got another book coming out that we can talk about too. So I'm kind of excited about that one because the cover is very sexy.
It is.
So I know. I was like, whoa, okay. So welcome to the show. Tell me a little bit about, well, you write a bunch of things, so that's kind of exciting. But tell me just kind of how you got into writing. What's your writing journey like? Were you always a writer? Tell me a little bit.
When I was little, I always really liked writing stories, and I'd write stories for my sister. And I wrote a little book in fifth grade, I think, and they had a young author's fair, and I won a prize in that, and had always kind of wanted to be an author, but it felt like one of those dream jobs that you could never really do that other people did.
So yeah.
I never really thought that I could do it, but it's something I always wanted to do kind of in the back of my mind. So when I went to school, I majored in history. I was going to be a teacher or an archivist or something that had to do with that. And after I had my son, I was sitting around and I had the story in my head one day, and I was like, you know, why not just try and write it down? It's not, I don't have to do anything with it. And started writing that and then put it aside for 2 years until I had my daughter, and pulled it out one day and finished it up in a month. And at that point I had started, I found a site called Query Tracker and had met a bunch of really good people through their forum, and learned all about querying agents and doing all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And started trying to get published doing that. My first book was actually a nonfiction book on how to write essays that I pieced together from some blog posts that I had done on my blog. And so it was a very weird – that actually got published pretty quickly after I queried an agent for it. But my fiction, I think I got rejected on my first book a good 200-something times, I think, before I stopped.
Whoa!
It was a lot. I rewrote that book probably for 6 years just playing with it. And then I finally decided one day, I was like, you know, self-publishing had just kind of started getting big, and I really loved this book. And I figured, okay, I'm going to self-publish it, but I'll send it to a couple more publishers real quick just to see what happens. And sent it to Entangled and a couple other publishers, and Entangled offered for it, and I've been writing for them ever since. It's been great.
That's awesome. So you have kind of the typical, you know, you submit and reject and the whole bit till you keep trying till you finally get the right place. But but you know, sometimes it, I don't know, I think that you found your place, you know, you found the right one. Maybe it was just not the right timing. And you know, I always think that submitting is kind of like a job interview. It's in the way that you don't know if you really want them either. So, So,
it is.
You know, you submit, kind of go, wait to see how their feedback is. And if, you don't get that good vibe, you don't really want them either. So,
yeah. Well, that first book, I'd actually, and it was funny because having had so many rejections on it, when I finally submitted it, I sent it to, I think, to five publishers that would take unagented manuscripts. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting offers from three of them, which was just so strange after querying that poor thing for so many years. To all of a sudden have three publishers say they wanted it was interesting. But and I was able to talk to all three. That was stressful because then I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I have choices. What if I picked the wrong one? And thankfully, I went with Entangled, who's just been amazing. So it's been fun, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's a neat thing to a neat problem to have.
It is.
Three offers
to pick one. And I think honestly, I appreciate it a little bit more because I really had to work hard to get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you know. That's a good reward, and then a nice problem to have that you have to make those decisions.
It is.
So, were you a big reader growing up? Or?
Oh yeah, yeah. My I was talking to my mom the other day about my earliest memory was getting a box of those books and tapes that they used to have back in the 80s, and it was a big, huge box. It had like Snow White and a bunch of other fairy tales in it with some little cassette tapes I could listen to and read. And my mom said I was two when I got that.
Oh, wow. Did they beep and turn the page?
So I could read along with them. And then she said she was reading me one of the books one night and apparently skipped a couple lines. And I told her, no, that's not right. You skipped some. And I went back and told her exactly what it was. And she was looking at me like, oh, my gosh, you're two. How do you know this? But, yeah, I've been reading since then. That has always been my favorite pastime. I've got books all over the house, which my husband loves.
What would you say some of your earliest, like, novel-length books that made an impression upon you?
Victoria Holt was my first romance author that I'd ever read. And those books, I mean, majored in history, so history's always been a big interest for me. And she writes those wonderful gothic Victorian romance novels where there's, you know, some handsome earl who's lost his wife and everybody thinks he's a murderer. And you know, so you get the suspense and the romance and the wonderful historical setting. So she's always been my first romance love. And and my first books actually were the Michelle McLean historicals. Those are that was my first book. To Trust a Thief is kind of a gothic historical mystery suspense type romance book because Victoria Holt is my first love. I wanted to write.
Your first love.
Like
so you think that's why you got into the romance thing? You started.
Probably. That was always kind of, and I can't remember how old I was when I started reading them. I was probably fairly young though, because I know I went through my mom's bookshelves pretty quickly, and that's what she mostly had. So I think, you know, whatever your first love is kind of gets ingrained in you. And
I agree with that.
That's what you want to do. Yeah. And then, of course, the romantic comedies, because my favorite movies, I always tell my husband, especially with my imagination, you know, I freak myself out enough, so I don't do horror or I won't even watch Ghostbusters unless it's broad daylight, because I just... Yeah. I'm just 30-year-old.
Overactive imagination.
Of the nightlight. So I want, if I'm watching, you know, and I watch drama and I like the sci-fi and the Star Trek movies and those. But generally, if I have time to sit down and watch a movie, I want it to make me laugh, and I want the fun romance. And so romantic comedies are always my go-to when I'm watching a movie. So when Entangled started their romantic comedy line, I was like, oh, I've got to start writing for those. That sounds so fun. So
I know. Well, and the thing with the romantic comedies, anything that's comedic, it's a heavy, there's a heavy burden on the dialogue, because the banter is what keeps it going so much. So was that a big change for you from writing, say, the historical romance to the rom-com?
It was a little bit, because the historicals are also a lot heavier on the description, and you want to really set that world up. And with romantic comedies, I didn't have to do that quite so much, because I'm setting it in the present day, and I could use, you know, regular dialogue and vernacular that people use. But I don't know. I think I kind of have that snarky little voice that goes on in my head most times anyway. So it was actually easier for me to write than the historicals, because I could just kind of let myself have a conversation in my head and put it down on paper.
I think it's a requirement for anybody who writes romantic comedies to be an internal smartass. They
for
just
sure.
have to. If you're not, I could not even see. I could not even see somebody who's really quiet and not trying to write one of those, because you would have to really wonder what is on the inside of that person.
I don't know. It's always the quiet ones that are the strange. I don't know.
So
my mom always used to laugh at me, because I would have, anytime I had to talk to somebody, I'd have the full conversation with that person in my head before I ever got anywhere near him. And sometimes there was one time in the car, I can't remember what we were talking about, but I was thinking about maybe having a conversation with my dad about something, and I told her, I said, well, I'm going to say this, and then he'll probably say this, and then I'm going to say this back, and then he'll say this to me. And she was just laughing. Like, you don't even need to talk to people. You just have the conversation with them before you even get near them. I'm like, that way I can make sure it goes the way I want, right?
And then comes texting, and we're like, no problem. I've got this all done.
It helps to have those voices in your head.
Yeah, just don't tell everybody, you know, then they think you're wrong. I think I read that quote that says, you know, the only thing you can be with voices in your head and not be institutionalized is be a writer, because it's okay. It's just totally okay.
I just need one of those vests like Castle has that says writer on it, so I can walk. It's okay if I'm weird. I'm a writer. It's okay.
That's true. So other than Victoria Holt, obviously, because of the historical background that you have, what would you say are some of the bigger or maybe not even, maybe you've read a not like super top of the list author that has had a big impact on the way that you write romance or the way that you read
it? Probably. You know, I don't even think I even had really read a lot of contemporary until I thought about writing it. I mostly spent my whole life reading historicals, but I try to, when I write the books, I try to think of them like I'm watching a movie. So I try to basically play the movie out in my head and then just get it down on paper. So romantic movies are probably more of an influence on me when it comes to my books. Like oh, you know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and all those fun Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey movies and that kind of thing.
Yeah, my favorite movie of all time is French Kiss, and I just...
Oh, I love that movie.
It's just, I have the dialogue memorized because it's just,
yeah.
It's so, there's so much smart-ass,
they're hilarious.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Just hilarious, hilarious dialogue. And, you know, Meg Ryan and her heyday.
Yeah, she was sitting there, had eaten something that was making her stomach upset, and she kind of grabbed my arm and she went, lactose intolerance!
Yes. And I identify with that. I think that's why that movie is like, that's so me.
Yeah, I love watching her. Yeah. Well, and I really love, you'll know a lot of my books are the enemies to lovers trope. I love that. Probably because they have the snarky banter going on the whole time. I love watching them spar with each other and then it transforms into, oh, I really like fighting with this person.
Yeah. It's just fun.
It's probably my favorite trope. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, do you come across that way and with your family as well? Is that part of your nature?
I probably don't think I do, but maybe I am. I'm actually kind of shy and quiet in real life, I think. I don't talk a whole lot. I don't know. If I know you really well, I'd probably come across that way, but... It takes me a while. I'm a shy person. That's why
you warm up.
Fun.
You warm up.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I think it's probably maybe a deeper part of your personality.
Yeah.
Somewhere deep down.
Well, that's what's fun with my heroines, because I can make them be how, you know, I can have them act the way I would really love to act in situations, but I don't. I act that way in my head. I mean, I have, like I said, full-on conversations in my head. Doing it in person, though, I'm like, I don't know.
So, let's see. This may be a little, you may have to think about this one, but as far as comedic scenes that you've written, can you think of one that kind of sticks out above all the others, as far as scenes where that would really were laugh out loud when you were writing them?
Actually, there's one in the book that I just wrote. It comes out in October. And every time I read the scene, I laugh at it and I take a clip of it and send it to Sarah Balance. She's another writer for Entangled that's a good friend of mine. And I was like, is it weird that I laugh at this every time? I mean, I wrote it. I laugh at it, but it's too bad. My book, Truly Madly, book in my Sweet Love series, the two best friends, Jared and Gina, are the kind of real snarky, they're friends, but they're always just at each other's throats in, you know, a loving way. But those two in that book, too, just crack me up. She goes after him with a spoon for licking some frosting or something. And just what their banter cracks me up every time. I don't know if it's odd when you're laughing at something you wrote.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask.
I guess it's
funny when you're writing and you're laughing and you're writing because it's so funny. And then people are looking at you.
My husband does. He'll walk by and I'll be chuckling. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm just cracking myself up. And he just rolls his eyes. Like, it's good. If I can make myself laugh over it, the fifth time I've read it and it's up, it's probably okay.
Yeah, it's probably somebody else is going to laugh too. So
yeah, hopefully. I think that's why I like those enemies to lovers scenes so much. Because they're, you really can get that snarky... snarky banter going. Oh, in my first book for Love Struck, Driving Her Crazy, there's a scene after they spent the night together where she kind of wants to pretend like it never happened and he's determined to make her talk about it. And he starts kind of going into graphic detail of, what, you don't remember that we did it, you know? And it's just really, she's one of those very prim and proper women, so he's really making her extremely uncomfortable, reminding her of all the things they just did, and it's really funny. I love that scene. And they're in the car together, so she can't escape from him either. She's screaming at him, and he's just laughing because he knows he's riling her up. I like that scene a lot, too.
Yeah, those are good, especially when they're trapped. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. Train wreck. What you said you were, obviously your husband walked by when you were writing. Do you usually write in a common area of your house, or do you have an area where you usually seclude yourself? Because I know you got kids and it's hard. I know. I feel the pain.
Yeah, my daughter is she's going into sixth grade and my son's going into seventh. So during the school year, it's great because I have the house to myself during the day, and that's kind of my work hours. And then I always say in the summertime I go on vampire hours because it's impossible to get anything done with them home. So I tend to write real late at night. But yeah, my desk is kind of – we have this living room, but it's more of a walkway. Nobody actually goes in there except to get to another room. And my desk isn't there, so they have to walk past me every time. I invested in a really nice pair of headphones, and I'll put Lindsey Sterling or, you know, somebody fun music that doesn't have lyrics in it, and I'll put that on kind of low to cancel out any of the background noise that's going on. But it's a little easier writing when nobody's around. I don't like people watching over my shoulder, so I have friends that will go to Starbucks and write, and I don't know how they do that because I'm always so paranoid somebody's looking at what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I get self-conscious.
Well, that's a little hard if you laugh out loud, too, so.
Yeah. Or you're sitting there sobbing. I like doing that in private.
Yeah, writing those love scenes is probably a little hard in public too. But I know people who do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I could do it. I actually went to a write-in and was writing a really steamy scene, and I was just looking around and everybody like, are they seeing what I need? Do they know that I'm blushing over here while I'm writing?
I don't know how people do that, because even those scenes, I can write other parts of the book with my kids running around and everything going on if I can kind of cancel the noise out enough. But when I get to those scenes, if everybody's still awake, then I just skip over that scene and write what comes next, because I can't. But those, even with my husband in the house, it's like I have to write notes when I'm all by myself.
Can't really get in that mode with people watching.
You're looking at me. I know you're judging me.
That's hilarious. It's funny though. I mean, if you think about it logically, you're like, they wouldn't know, but yeah, you're like, they're judging me. I mean, they can see me blushing. They know what I'm writing about.
Well, and it's funny when people find out that I'm an author. We were sitting at my daughter's gymnastics and somebody said something about me writing a book, and another mom turned around and was like, oh, you're an author, I should get your books. And the first thought in my head is, oh no, she's going to read those scenes and know that I wrote. Nobody I know is allowed to read these books. But
well, that's another what I was going to ask. Does family, any of your family read them? Does your husband read your books?
My husband has only read one of my books. He's not a huge reader, so he read the first one. And my historicals are actually more on the sweet side. They have, except for one of the books, they all have the closed door love scenes. So my mom's allowed to read those. The other books, she's funny because when I have a new book come out, she always says, okay, now am I allowed to read this one? Or like, nope, this one you can't read.
That's
my
funny.
My sister reads all those books, but yeah, most of the rest of my family don't read the rated R ones.
That's funny. I had an author on once who, she wrote erotic romance, and she said, yeah, the worst part was when my dad told, okay, she said, unbeknownst to me, my dad had purchased the book and read it and then came and told me, hey, that was a really good book. And she was like frozen, just petrified. Oh, my God, what?
No, I can't imagine my dad ever reading him.
Yeah, no.
My mom, even the covers of my books, which are actually, I think they're very cute. I love the covers of my books.
Oh, I love them too.
And
they're not
overly sexy. I mean, they're cute. They're romantic comedy novels. So
right.
but like the first, Driving Her Crazy, it's got that really cute cover with the car, and you can see his legs out.
Uh-huh.
Like the, you know, you can tell she's, you know, kind of on top of him, but it's a cute little scene. That even that book, my mom's like, well, if they weren't playing like that, and
oh gosh,
like, oh, mom, yes. If
don't
you don't even
it,
like
mom.
The cover, please don't crack the book, because
that's funny.
Yeah. And then, of course, the new book, the one that's coming out on the 29th, Pretending with the Greek Billionaire, has the, uh-huh, you know, the gorgeous man with no shirt. And
yes.
So that,
yes,
one,
let's
I
talk
had it,
about
I,
that.
Yeah.
Let's
I
talk
really
about
love
that.
That kind of...
So tell, just give me the kind of the premise of the story and so we can just get a feel for what he's all about. Because, yeah, he's...
Mm. He's yummy to look at, isn't he?
Yes.
The premise, he is a rich Greek billionaire. He's kind of famous just for being famous, kind of like a Kardashian or a Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And he tends to be, you know, a little bit of a playboy and has that kind of a reputation. And his father wants him to... straighten up because he's supposed to take over one of their New York office, and he doesn't feel comfortable leaving his company to his son as things are. And then one day he goes home, and this social worker who takes care of six orphans has wandered into his backyard, and her girls are just running everywhere and destroying his backyard while she's trying to wrangle him in. And the paparazzi show up and get photos of them looking like they're making out, even though he's just helping her from falling over because she's really clumsy. And so they kind of come up with a deal where if she pretends to be his fiance for a while to help give him a little respectability, he will save her reputation, that, you know, she's not just another notch on his belt type thing. And so the book is about their fake relationship that kind of morphs into something else. But they're a lot of fun, too, because it's one of the polar opposite books where he's just, you know, the world traveler, playboy, and she's,
mm-hmm,
and Constance. You know, she's a, just a little mousy social worker, but she's got that fire underneath. So it's really fun watching them
yeah,
fight with each other.
I like polar opposites. I always think they're fun.
Mm-hmm. They were definitely fun to play with.
So is this the beginning to a series, or...
Yeah. At the moment, it's a standalone.
Okay.
It's my first book for the Indulgence line, which was a lot of fun, too, because with the romantic comedies, with the Love Struck line, the heroes are a little nicer. They're more of the normal type guys, and with the Indulgence heroes, you can make them the rich kind of jerk men.
Yeah, right.
You get to... play with the bad boy side a little bit more, so it was fun to get to do a bad boy for a while since I've been doing so many nice boys.
Well, I love that Entangled has such a wide variety, you know, of their lines, and
mm-hmm,
that you know by which, you know, when you pick up Love Struck, you know it's going to be a romantic comedy, you know, you pick
yeah
up an Embrace, you know what it's going to be, you know, they're all just, they all have kind of their own flavor. I love
yeah
that. And they really do a good job picking the stories and the authors that they want to do each line. And I like, I
do.
Because neat, you've yeah crossed over now, and now you get to be a little more risque with your work.
Yeah.
So not all the way, but a little more risque. Because, yeah, Love Shark is supposed to be just a fun, they're supposed to be fun reads.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh. You know, get on. So, so yeah, I'm in really... than the billionaire guy.
It's fun writing for multiple lines too, because I get to play with all the I'm actually working on a historical right now under the Michelle McLean name for the Scandalous line with a Highlander, so it's been a lot of fun doing that, because
mm-hmm
I haven't written a historical in a while, so it's fun to switch gears and kind of play with the different sides of all that,
well,
you know, the weird stuff that goes on in my head.
Who doesn't love a hot Highlander? I mean, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
I kicked on my husband.
Away.
That's one of the reasons I married him, because I had just started reading, I had read the Outlander series right before I met him.
Uh-huh.
And My husband's last name is McLean. His grandfather immigrated from Scotland. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
He had the red hair. And I was like, wait, your grandfather? So you're like recent Scot. And
yeah.
He just kind of laughed. And so now I was telling him, that's one of the reasons I really wanted to date you, because you were like a Scottish man. And I just read out like.
The truth comes out.
His head. I really wanted to get him in a kilt for our wedding, and he said no. And now he tells me that he would have worn one, but this is 15 years later. I was like, no, I asked you, and you said you wouldn't. So we're renewing our vows, and you are wearing that kilt.
Can he break into the brogue?
Not that great, but his nephew can do it really well.
Really? How funny. There's nothing sexy in that. Like I said, hearing a Sean Connery or a... James
Gerard
Fraser.
Butler.
Gerard Butler. Oh, yeah.
That accent, that just gets you.
Yeah, I know. They could talk to me until I die. Yes.
Right. Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, for sure. Well, that's interesting. Well, tell us just a little bit about that project then.
I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. It's kind of a Beauty and the Beast meets Taming the Shrew type book. They are from two feuding clans, and the king wants the fighting to stop, so he wants them to marry to kind of unite the clans a little bit, and they can't obviously go against the king, so they have to get married, but each one wants to drive the other one away so they can get out of the marriage, but it won't be their fault. So she's just as horrible to him as she can be, and he's as horrible to her as she can be, and it's funny. it's been fun having them torture each other, and then in the process, of course, they'll fall in love. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun with them playing around. And because it's a Highlander in a historical book, I can make him even more of a jerk than a modern man might be allowed to be.
Right, because it was acceptable for him to be jerks.
Yeah. Back then, it was just sexy and manly, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
So, that's neat that you get to go back to your roots and have a little taste of that again after, writing the comedies and the indulgence. We're a little more than halfway through the show, so I want to... What else do you have planned, like, for the next, I don't know, just say just through to 2017? Do you got other things in the batter's box?
I do. I've actually been talking to my editor about a new Love Struck series that we're going to set in San Francisco, which I'm really excited about because I grew up in California, about 40 minutes away from San Francisco, so that's one of my favorite cities. That one's going to be a lot of fun to write, but setting it there, and then I'll have another indulgence probably coming out, which are always fun. That's another Enemies to Lovers one, because that's just I don't know, I love that trope so much. They're so fun to watch. You really get that banter going.
Yes, I agree.
And then hopefully some more historicals. I really am having fun doing this historical. It's been I think a year and a half since I've had a historical come out, so I would like to get a couple more of those out if I can. Those are my first love, so it's fun to go back to them sometimes.
What is your, about average book per year?
I actually write pretty quickly. I'm trying to think how many. I think I've written 7 this year.
Wow. You're prolific.
When my kids are in school, I can do this a lot quicker. I've been working on the same book all summer. My editor is probably about to kill me because it's late. But I'm like, I can't. Every time I start writing, somebody's in my face. But usually, when I'm on my normal schedule, I can do the first draft in a couple weeks. And then and then we get the editing going. So
that's great.
I like to pump them out. It's fun to play with the. And it depends on my day job schedule and everything else I've got coming in. But
that's really great. That makes your readers happy, I'm sure, to get so many books a year. No, that's in the really. when you get addicted to an author.
Yes, it does. Well, and that helps having the multiple names, too, because I can put out a few more. You don't want people to get too sick of you if you put them out too quickly.
Right.
I'm like, well, didn't we just see something from you?
I'm always amazed. I'm like, wow, didn't they just put out a book? How they did? And then I know that sometimes authors will write three books and they'll put them together and then they put them out like a month apart or something, just, you know, different marketing plans. And I understand that, but sometimes I'm so amazed at how these authors can write it so quickly. It just, you know, I if I was doing it full time, I might get two books we've done a year just because I don't think that quickly.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I kind of get in the rhythm, but I have a hard time. That first draft kills me. And I know a lot of authors are opposite, where they prefer the first draft and hate editing. I love editing. I could edit all day.
Really?
But that blank page. Oh, yeah. Once I have something to work with, I can edit really quickly. Even if I'm adding chapters, it doesn't seem like it's new material, so I don't have a problem with it. I could do it really quick. That first draft just absolutely kills me to get out. If I could suck something up to my brain and just have it come right out, I would absolutely love it. But so I have to put myself on a strict schedule of a certain words an hour just to get it done. But I figured my friend Sarah Balance, I think she was the one who got me doing this. She does 500 words an hour, and then if she can get that 500 words done in 20 minutes, then great. And then she's got 40 minutes to do anything else she wants. And if it takes her the whole hour, being able to take her the whole hour, but it breaks it down enough that it doesn't seem so impossible to do. So I can say, okay, if I need 3,000 words today, I just need to get 500 words six times somewhere between when I wake up and when I go to bed, which is usually pretty late. So it doesn't seem as not, you know, as a, it's much more manageable breaking it down
well,
into small
obtainable goals, and then you feel successful. So yeah, I can totally understand that. Yeah, I can.
It's like
I can
overwhelming going, oh, 3,000 words.
Yeah,
okay, 500. Right. You can do 500.
Well, I'll have to remember that because I do the I'm like, okay, today I have to get 3,000 words done, and then I sit there and go, that's 3,000.
I know, and it's daunting, yes. But if you break it down into five, you know, okay, I just get 500 done, and then you can mark that up. Okay, I just have to do that five more times, just sometime during today, and it doesn't seem quite unless you don't do anything until the end of the day, and it's
then
10 o'clock at night, and you still have 3,000. Yeah, that is not quite so fun, but usually if you manage it well, it's not quite so
bad. My problem is when I get to going, I usually get on a roll and I don't want to stop. And
Well, that's good too, though, because if you can do that, and then you've got 2,000 words done, and then you only have 1,000 for the rest of the day.
True.
So those rolls are great to get on. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, and it's all about having the children away from you and having the extra the quiet time to do it. But yeah,
and removing the internet helps.
Yeah, well, you got to get rid of that. Turn off Facebook.
And I bought I got on eBay and bought one of those. It's called a Neo. It's just a little word processor, and it just shows you about 6 lines of text at a time. You can't do anything else with it except type. And I'll take that to, you know, like my son's soccer practice or football practice and sit in the car while he's doing that and then just type on that. And I can actually get quite a bit of words out just doing that, not being interrupted with anything else. So it helps sometimes to have those taxi mom moments where you're sitting in the car for a while. If I could pull that thing out, I get some of my word count out. So,
yeah, well, that makes sense. And two, to not have the, you know, not be on a device that's hooked up to the internet that's actually giving you social media feedback all the time.
I know.
Well, that's my problem. My email pops up and I immediately go to email.
So, and it doesn't show you a word count, so even that's not distracting you, because a lot of times I'll look down thinking I've gotten so many words out and there's 20.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I've got 480 to go. But yeah, it helps not having any of that in my face and just focusing on the actual words coming out. So I need to use that thing more.
I'm going to look into that because I know a lot of people who use, gosh, just drew a blank. Scrivener,
uh-huh.
For the same reason.
I have that downloaded, but I've never used it yet.
I've not even looked at it, but you can make it apparently do that where it's just showing you what you're doing and you can't go back and edit and all of that.
Yeah.
So, because I found myself thinking about something I wrote 5 minutes ago and go, wait a minute, let me go back.
Yeah.
And that's just counterproductive.
See, you can't edit while you write or you never get that first, you never get the first draft done. Write or Die is another really good app for that. That one you can set on different settings. But as you're typing, if you pause too long, it starts deleting your words. So it forces you to not pause. It's actually really helpful.
That's a good idea, though. Yeah, that'll kick me in the butt.
And it'll flash some lights at you before it starts deleting so you know that you need to start typing. But that also helps you just kind of do the word vomit, you know, where you're just getting them out and not focusing. So then you can always go back and fix it. So you just need to get that first.
Oh, I know, but it's so hard for linear people.
Oh, I know. Well, and I'll sit there sometimes stressing over one word, and then, so I've learned to use the brackets a lot where, you know, I'll put, say something
insert
funny
word
here, or put a really funny something there, you know, yeah, and then I'll have to go back and fill it in later, but that helps, and I'm just trying to get that first, like I said, the first draft just kills me, so anything like that forces me to just get the words out is good, and then I can go back and fix.
Yeah, and I understand. I totally understand. That's my problem. I do edit. When I start to write, because it just drives me crazy. And but I gotta get over that. So that's because that is a total beginner writer problem. So I'll get past it someday. That's why I've never finished anything except a short story.
I gotta push past it.
Yeah. So, thought you might want to give away a couple of books. Did you have something you wanted to tell anybody listening?
Yeah. If you go to my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Kira Archer Books. I have a post about being on the show tonight. Let's say the first three people that comment with the code word romance will get a copy of their choice of any of my books from either name, Kira Archer, Michelle McLean. So three people with romance commenting on that post.
Okay. There we have it.
Get the books in it for you.
Okay. See, and they'll have to listen to almost the whole thing to get there. So that's a good.
Well, I don't know. They might not think of it.
What are some things that that stand out for you in the romance genre as being a, quote, trend?
I think, as in, like, what's popular right now. I know I just started reading... Oh, this is fun. I just started reading Rachel Van Dyken's Matchmaker's Playbook series.
Uh-huh.
And it's got that new Kindle in Motion. Have you seen those?
No.
It is really fun. You're reading through it, and you'll flip to a page, and it's got a little video clip of actors kind of acting out the scene in the book.
Cool.
It's really fun, and it's got some pictures and stuff throughout there too. I know it's in there, and every time I flip to one and I see an actor moving all of a sudden, it's surprising me. It's really fun though. So
that's cool.
I think something that's probably going to be big coming up. It's been it's the first book I've seen that has done that. It's really fun.
Kindle in Motion. I'll have to check that out. That's really neat. Well, you know, anytime you can add in other forms of media with it. It just is attractive. I know they're working on some apps that have, like, if a place is mentioned in a book where you can link to it and it gives you all the Wikipedia of that place or whatever. And then I think there's also some that,
Well, I know Entangled has, I think with their teen line, they've got some books that have soundtracks with them.
Oh, I like that,
That have original music that's been written for these books. That is so fun. I mean, I heard that and I immediately wanted to start writing teen books because, gosh, how fun would it be? I know a lot of authors, you know, will listen to, they put together their own playlist while they're writing their books and say, how fun would it be to have an actual soundtrack for these books? Especially when you see them in your head kind of as a movie and you have some, you know, the background music sometimes going in your head. But it'd be so fun. I really liked that feature. That was a really cool thing to add to a book.
That you say that, I read Cami Garcia and Margaret Stoll's Beautiful Creatures series. And the first one I listened to. And the way that they chose to do the narration for that story was with some background music that, you know, I've listened to a lot of audiobooks. I was an audiobook addict for a while. There was a part where the main character girl played her viola and the boy could hear the music even when she went around, and they would actually play that music instead of just reading, you know, like if you were reading it, say he and he heard the music.
Yeah.
But it made it really haunting and creepy, and it made it so much more intense for me. So I could imagine they have a soundtrack and did an audio that they'd probably mix them in with the audio too. So that'd be so cool.
Oh, I bet. So cool. Yeah. It would be. That's one. I was really excited when I heard that they were starting to do that. That seems just like such a fun enhancement to the whole reading experience. Like I said, when I read, at least, you see it in your head, kind of like a movie. And so they have that background music with, and music always makes everything so much more. You know, intense. I love that they're adding all these interactive things with books now.
That's neat. I'm going to completely check out that Kindle in Motion, though, because especially people who, you know, a lot of people complain about that they're not readers because they're more visual people. You know, they need to, see it, and when they're reading the words, they're not seeing it, it's not translating that way. So that might help people kind of get the vision going, you know? In a way, and then sometimes people are like, that is totally not what I pictured that person being. And remember the backlash when Robert Pattinson was chose for Edward, and everybody was like, no, not Edward.
Yeah, I was kind of in that camp. I was. He did a good job, though, but I was.
After I watched the first one, I was like, okay. Yeah, but at first it was like, no.
Yeah. James Fraser, on the other hand, in Outlander, perfect casting.
Oh my
Absolutely
gosh.
Absolutely perfect casting.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't you just love to see them together forever?
Oh, yes.
I'm like, please say that rumor that you're dating is true and y'all have babies and I want to see them all.
I know. I wasn't too sure about her when they did the casting, although now that I've watched her, she really is perfect for it. But him, he was just exactly what I pictured.
Yes. She's such an amazing actress. I don't know what the word is. She's sophisticated, but she can really lash it out, you know.
Yeah.
Just like probably the heroines that you write, you know, she's got it going on, but she could just tear it up with the guys.
Give it to you when she, yeah.
Yeah, tear him a new one when she needs to. So,
yeah
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how, because I didn't get to watch the last season, so I'm waiting for it to come out on my Amazon.
So good.
I watched
the first three,
and then I had to stop. You know, so yes,
well,
I'm waiting.
We got my mother watching them.
Oh
my
god!
We get her to read the books at first, but we got her to watch it. We're like, just fast forward to any sex scenes, and there's not that many. I mean, they don't throw them in there just to throw them in there, so that's good.
They're very well placed.
She watched the first or the second season, and then I think she went back and watched the first season, and now she's reading book three because she can't wait to find out the story.
Oh, awesome!
So we got her reading the book. I'm like, oh, you got it. The series is just so good.
I got my husband hooked on it. He is just absolutely hooked on it. watching it, of course, not reading it.
Yeah.
But he's good with the fighting and the blood and the gore and the
that's what I told my husband. It's like watching Braveheart, only better. You like Braveheart, you like this, I promise.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, it's like Game of Thrones. It's just a different setting.
Yeah. And he'll watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get him to watch. I think maybe he's jealous over Jamie. I don't know. But I promise I won't drool when you're watching it.
It's that other redheaded guy.
Oh, that man.
Yes, I know. Well, okay, so tell us, we've got just a few minutes left. Let everybody know, KiraArcher.com is KiraArcherBooks.com. And they can get all your social media links there, right?
Yep, all my stuff is there, and I even have a tab for my pen names and everything is there, so everything you want to know and probably some stuff you don't is over there.
And they can find your books at all the major online outlets and off of Entangled's website as well.
Yep, and they are actually, I just found out, on the Walmart website now, too. So
most
of the books are there. Yeah, Walmart!
Make a fortune off those mass market paperbacks. I'll tell you what, that's awesome.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Because I know I have an addiction.
I know.
I try not to walk back there now because I know what I'll do. So.
I know. Well, my husband, we go to Sam's Club, and he's always, avoid the book aisle, avoid the book aisle. Like, you just go shop, you know where to find me.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we can't help it. It's where's it what life's about, so sorry.
Yeah.
I've made a monster out of my husband, though. He's like, okay, I just finished that series. You need to download me the next one on Kindle. I'm like, okay. My God, dude. He goes through books faster than I do. And he's like, you created this monster.
Well, yeah, but kind of down a little.
I'm like, what can I say? You know, I can't say anything bad about that. He's reading books. So,
I know. Right?
Oh, well. Well, thanks so much for being on. I really, I'm glad we were able to make this work out. And I hope that, I can't wait to read the historical and the great Greek wonderfulness. I'm a big historical person too. So, the Greek one looks really good. Really good. I know that the love strikes have become very popular. So, I don't worry. I don't, you do good with those, but yeah, good luck with that. The rest
thank
of it.
You. And Lucy is probably one of my favorite characters, so definitely check him out. Cause
yes. And
he was one of those where I really missed him when I stopped writing the book.
Do you think you want to write about him again?
I love him. It's weird to have a crush on your own character. Cause I really love him.
No. Because you created him and you probably made him everything you wanted him to be. So,
I love Luca. I love him. He's awesome.
Well, send me the information when it comes out and I can post it on the librarian page for everybody to, you can send me the pre-order stuff and that way they know where to go to find the info about him and pre-order him.
Okay.
him is in the book
of
him
this
now.
Week, so. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great. Well, I look forward to it, and we'll try to get you back on the show again, maybe sometime next year, and talk about what you got out coming out for the next one.
Sounds fun. I'm glad we
Great.
Were able to get on there. I know it was hard getting it scheduled, Matt.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your back to school writing time, because I'm sure you will.
Oh yes, I'm waiting.
Two more weeks.
Two more weeks, yes. My kids are crying, and I'm just dancing in the corner.
Every mom is. It's okay. All right. Well, enjoy it, and I hope it is a very productive time for you, and you get lots of good time with your characters. And
thank you.
And thanks again for being on.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks. You too.
And thanks, you guys, for listening in. You can find me on Facebook as The Librarian on Authors on the Air, on Twitter, I can't talk Twitter, as HOT_librarian_, and on Google Plus somewhere too. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. You can find Authors on the Air just about anywhere in the social media universe. Our new website, www.authorsontheair.com, will be up in about a week. So if you get a blank stare on that one, that's why, but it'll be rocking brand new when it comes up. And thanks to Authors on the Air for letting me share my passion for romance with all of you. Special shout out to my wonderful sister. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Sam. And I will see the rest of you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Librarian.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.